Turn to the book of Jude, book of Jude. The desire of Jude was to write upon the theology of salvation. He states this in verse 3. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." That was his desire. But his desire was interrupted by a necessity that was laid upon him, something that he could not avoid. He went on to say, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you." And then he states the unavoidable subject that was pressing upon him, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He gives the reason for this necessity in verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The reason that he felt such a necessity to exhort them to earnestly contend for the faith is that the enemies of the truth had crept in. He then proceeds to give several arguments to encourage them to follow the exhortation. And we see this basically in verses 4 through verse 16. Jude then gives, keep in mind, the main subject is earnestly contend for the faith. That is the necessity that is laid upon him. And then he gives directions to guide them, to teach them how to observe this exhortation to earnestly contend for the faith. These directions, there are five of them, and they are listed here in verses 17 through 21, and we'll read those verses. "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is in light of earnestly contend for the faith. "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye," another direction. First direction is given in verse 17. Second direction, "but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Third direction, praying in the Holy Ghost. Fourth direction, keep yourselves in the love of God. And the fifth direction, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. These five directions, you notice, are personal. There is a personal responsibility. We see in verse 17, ye. We see in verse 20, ye. We see in verse 21, yourselves. So these directions involve personal responsibility. We want to center the thought of the message tonight around the fourth of these five directions found in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Again, all of these are in light of earnestly contend for the faith. And these five things that are mentioned in verses 17 through 21 tell us how we are to earnestly contend for the faith. This fourth direction is a priority. It is a priority in the battle for truth. And that'll be our subject this evening, a priority in the battle for truth. The exhortation is, again, earnestly contend for the faith. That's the battle for the truth. And now we see that there is a priority. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You will not earnestly contend for the faith unless you keep yourselves in the love of God. So we want to consider those words, keep yourselves in the love of God. The theme of that specific direction, the subject of that direction, is the love of God. I do not believe that this is referring to God's love for us, because there's nothing we can do to keep ourselves in that love. It's an unconditional love. But I believe it refers to our love to Him. We see all through the Old Testament, God instructed Israel to love the Lord. He gave them instruction over and over before they went into the land of Canaan that they were to love the Lord. We read in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In other words, nothing was to interfere with this love. Nothing was to encroach upon this love. It was a love that was to be with all their heart, all their soul, and all their might. Nothing was to get in the way of that love. This love of God is incumbent upon all the saved. We read in Psalm 31 and 23, O love the Lord, all ye His saints. Jesus referred to this love to God as the first, speaking of priority, and greatest commandment. Notice in Matthew 22, verses 36 through verse 38. This is a lawyer that asked Jesus a question, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first. This is priority. This is the first and great commandment. When you think about love to God, it's reasonable. It makes sense. It's very logical that we should love the Lord. We read in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Now there is no reason within ourselves why He should love us. But our love to Him is radically different. Again there in 1 John 4 verse 19, we love Him because He. God does not love us because of us. He loves us because He chose to. But our love to Him is we love Him because He. Because of who He is. Because of what He has done. There is absolutely nothing in Him or about Him that is not deserving of all our love. Love to God is foundational. It is foundational to all service to the Lord. The more we love Him, the more committed we will be to Him. The more we love Him, the more surrendered we will be to Him. The more we love Him, the more willing we are going to be to follow Him. The more that we love Him, the more we want to obey Him. The more we love Him, the more we want Him to be first. The more we put Him first in all things. The more that we love Him, the more we want to glorify Him. The more we love Him, the nearer I want to be to Him. And the more we love Him, the more we want to worship Him. The more we want to praise Him. The more we want to thank Him. You see, this love is foundational. The more that we love Him, the more we will love His Word. The more we will love His day, the more we will love His law, and the more we will love His people. The more we love God. The more that we love Him, the more we want to be whatever it is He wants us to be. The more that we love Him, the more we want to be where He wants us to be. The more we love Him, the more desire we have to please Him in all things. The more we love Him, the more He becomes the center of our life, the center of our thoughts, the center of our desires, the center of everything. The more that we love Him, the greater our desire to know Him. The more we want to know Him, the more we love Him, the more we have a desire to make Him known to others. And the more we love Him, the greater desire we have to be filled with His ways and to use what we have for His service. The more that we love Him, the more we want Him to have all. We want Him to have everything. The more we love Him, the more we're willing to give up and let go of our own stature and our own rank and our own importance and our own honors. We're willing to, the more we love Him, the more we're willing to let go of everything in this life. This love to God is foundational. The more that we love Him, the more willing we will be to stoop and to forget about self and to think nothing of it other than you wish you had more to give. The more we love Him, the more we wish we had to give Him. The more that we love Him, the more that the things of Christ become a priority to us. He becomes our purpose for living. The more that we love Him, the more meaningful our lives become. The more we love Him, the more that He controls and dominates everything that we do. The more that we love Him, the more we seek Him. The more He becomes our goal and our pattern. The more we love Him, the more zealous we become in His cause. And the more we love Him, the more joyful it is to serve Him. And the more we love Him, the more enabled we are to endure. Love will endure a tremendous amount. And the more that we love Him, the more willing we are to endure, and the more able we are to endure all the difficulties and trials. And the more we love Him, the better our outlook and attitude upon life. And you love the Lord, it's hard to have a bad attitude. Love is foundational. This love to God is foundational. The more that we love Him, the more willing we are to serve Him, the further we are willing to go with Him. How far are we willing to go with God? It depends on how much we love Him. How much are you willing to give up for your child or your spouse? Depends how much you love them. How far are you willing to go with God? Depends upon your love for the Lord. Love to God feeds our desire for God. Love for God feeds our delight in God. From all of this, it becomes very apparent that love to God is a priority. It is a priority in the battle for truth. Then consider the direction itself. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The subject of that direction, again, is the love of God, or love to God. And that manifests the importance, the urgency, the imperativeness of the direction. The direction is very direct. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The direction addresses a personal responsibility concerning our love to God. The first word of the direction is keep. That is an immediate call to give attention to something specific. In this case, love to God. We are to give attention to our love for the Lord. The word keep means to retain. It means to continue and persist in. We are to retain our love for God. We are to continue and persist in our love to God. That word keep can also serve as a warning. That is, do not part. Do not set aside love to God. Do not allow love to God to diminish one iota, because it is the foundation. It is the foundation. The word keep means to guard. It means to garrison. And the very fact that something needs to be guarded speaks of many things. It speaks of a possible threat. Keep your love to God. That implies there's a threat. To keep, or that something needs to be guarded and garrisoned, implies that there may be a danger. It also implies the possibility of a loss. If you are told to guard something, that means that the possibility exists that you may lose what you're guarding. So that we are to keep ourselves. Loving God gives the immediate implication that love to God can be lost. The word keep implies personal diligence. It implies personal energy. And it suggests a preoccupation with whatever it is we're guarding. In this case, love to God. The word keep also conveys the idea of something important. Love to God is of the utmost importance. It also implies something valuable. And it also implies something worthwhile. Keep it. The direction reads, keep yourselves in. In is a preposition. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That little word in gives us some idea as to the degree of our love to God. To be in something is to be enclosed with it. We are to be enclosed. We are to be surrounded with love to God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This shows the importance of love to God. But it also shows that we have a tendency to fail in this area. We would not have to be reminded to keep yourselves in the love of God if it was not our tendency to fail in this area. Love, whether it's love to God or love to a spouse, love needs to be fed. You have to feed it. Do you realize that most marriages would have never, ever occurred had people been as committed when they were dating as they are after they're married? The marriage would have never happened if there was as much communication. Would have never happened. Would have never happened. People get married, and most of the time, they cease to feed love. And love becomes mechanical. And it is no different with love to God. It is possible, and that's why we need to keep it. It is possible for our love to God to become stale. That it might become stagnant. That it become mechanical and stifled. It is possible for love to lose its glow. Again, we've mentioned this before. It sounds funny, but it's the truth. Go into a restaurant. Watch couples sit at a table. And you can almost tell how long they've been married. Even if you couldn't tell how old they were, you can almost tell. Those who've just been married or those who just met, oh, they're talking, they're looking at each other. The others, all they're doing is looking at the menu. And they're not saying two words to each other. Love grows stagnant. Love loses its glow. It loses its fervency. It loses its passion. It loses its excitement. It loses its enthusiasm and interest. And sadly to say, that is true concerning our love to God. Because it is possible that our love to God lose its glow and lose its fervency and its passion and its excitement and its interest. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Guard your love. What this direction is saying is love to God is a love of priority. And the direction is keep yourselves in the love of God. Which is just another way of saying, do not allow anything. Do not allow anything to encroach upon your love to God. Do not allow anything to take priority over this love. This is first love. It's a love of priority. Keep yourselves in the love of God implies that our love to God needs personal inspecting and scrutinizing. This is also conveyed when Jesus asked Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" He's calling upon Peter to investigate, to examine his love for the Lord. It's not a question to Peter, "Peter, do you love me at all?" It is a call for Peter to examine his love to the Lord. Again, a priority in earnestly contending for the faith is keep yourselves in the love of God. That raises the question, how do we accomplish this? How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? How do we keep the glow and the fervency and the interest? How do we do that? Well, I believe the answer to that question is seen in the first three directions. Verse 17 says, remember. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That is, don't forget. Don't forget who He is. Don't forget what He has done. Verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What that simply means is you take care of your spiritual needs. This is how we keep ourselves in the love of God. This is how we earnestly contend for the faith. We need to remember. And we must take care of our own spirituality. And then in verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. That is talking with God. That is referring to communication. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? How do you keep that love from losing its glow and its enthusiasm and its interest? You remember. You take care of your spirituality and you keep up communication. You always talk with God. This keeps our love to God alive. And it's also what leads to the fifth direction, enables us to follow the fifth direction, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The more you love Him, the more you look for Him. The more you anticipate Him. That leads us to the consequences. The consequences of failure in this matter. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep that love fresh. Maintain that glow. Maintain the passion of that love. Keep that love a priority. But what happens if you fail? Well, in Christ's letter to the church of Ephesus there in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7 is the letter. But in verses 2 and 3 of that letter, Christ commended that church for their labor in the work of the Lord. He commended them for their endurance. He commended them for their adherence to the truth. He commended them for their ability to discern between truth and error. He commended them for their loyalty and their resolve. But then you get down to verse 4. And Christ very abruptly changes the tone of the letter. He says, nevertheless, if someone is complimenting you, telling you all these good things about yourself, and then you hear that word, nevertheless, look out. Here it comes. Nevertheless, that is, despite all of what I've said, I have somewhat against thee. The Lord says, I have something against you. That ought to immediately get our attention. That ought to immediately concern us. I have something against thee. He is saying, these things that I have mentioned about you, as good as they are, cannot make up for what I have against you. Nevertheless, I have something against thee. He is saying, in spite of these things, there is something wrong. And if it's something that God has against us, may I say, it is something that is desperately wrong. He's saying, in spite of all of these things, there is something missing. There is a deficiency. And it was due to something that they had done. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast something they did. This could not be left on anyone else's doorstep. This could not be blamed upon anyone else. Those two words, thou hast. I have something against thee because of something you have done or have allowed to happen. Thou hast left thy first love. Again, we've already stated love to God is a love of priority. First love is a love of priority. Now, I would disagree with many who believe that the church of Ephesus no longer loved the Lord. I don't believe that's the case. But that love to God was no longer a priority. They had left the first love. It's not that they had ceased to love Him, but they had left that first love. He looks at all their labor. He looks at all the things that they had endured. He looks upon their doctrinal soundness, their form of godliness, And he says, you don't love me like you once did. I believe that's the charge here. And I believe it's because of a failure to keep themselves in the love of God. Thou hast left thy first love. Something or many things had encroached upon their love to God. And it was due to a failure on their part. Thou hast. If our love for God has diminished in any degree, if it has lost its glow, if it has lost its fervor and its excitement and its interest, the reason is not in God. The reason is with us. Thou hast. Love to God was no longer a love of priority. And it was due to a failure on their part. They failed to keep their love to God a priority. They once had a love to God that was fervent, that was intense. They once had a love to God that produced a wonderful feeling and strong emotion. Feeling and emotion beyond description. But that was no longer the case. They once had a love to God that filled them with excitement and enthusiasm. A love that was pure, without self-interest. But that was no longer the case. They once had a love to God that had a drawing effect upon their hearts. It was a love that moved and thrilled their hearts. A love that controlled their hearts, a love that controlled their actions and their behavior. In other words, they once had eyes for no one else, but they've begun to look upon other lovers. They've begun to look upon other things. They had failed to keep love to God a priority. And that is one of the major problems of God's people today. There was a time when they had eyes for no one else but the Lord. And now they have eyes for everything but the Lord. Oh, deep down somewhere, there is a love. But it is no longer a love of priority. Other things have taken priority. This is the consequence of failing to keep ourselves in the love of God. You see, it is this first love, this love of priority, that causes us to desire His presence. It is this first love that makes God's Word so wonderful, makes His day so wonderful, makes the preaching of His Word so interesting, makes worship so real. It is this first love, this love of priority, that causes you to walk further, to climb higher, and draw closer but they failed in guarding this love. You see, it is this first love. You can go through all the motions, and they were doing that. They were still serving God. But it wasn't the same, because the love wasn't the same. It had become mechanical. Again, they had eyes for others. Is this first love, this love of priority that attracts us to God? If you're married and you begin to feel attraction toward other people, you have a problem. And it is a big problem. And it will lead to disastrous results unless you get that taken care of. And the way to take care of it is you need to love your spouse more. You need to love her more. You need to love him more. It's the same when it comes to our love to God. If we find ourselves more and more attracted to the things of this world, we've got a problem. And it is a problem with our love to God. It's not that God has become less attractive in His person, but He becomes less attractive to us. We're more attracted to other things. It is because of a deficiency in our love for Him. You see, it's this first love that makes our hearts sensitive to Him. You love your spouse, your heart is sensitive to them. Your heart is sensitive to their needs. Your heart is sensitive to their feelings. You love your children, your heart is sensitive toward them. And if you love God, your heart is sensitive toward God. And the more we love Him, the more sensitive we are to Him. You see, it was that first love that causes us to believe that we owe everything to Him. It's that first love that gave us that desire, I will give Him everything. I will die for Him. But if you fail to keep it, that love begins to lose its enthusiasm. It begins to lose its interest. There are many husbands and wives that have been married a long, long time. But may I say, a long time ago, they lost interest in one another. The problem is a deficiency in love. That's the problem. And that's so it applies to our love to God as well. It was that first love that caused us to stay focused upon Him. We focused upon Him. We thought about Him. It was like we couldn't think of anything else. He was always on our mind. That's first love. That's a love of priority. But there was a failure to keep that love. You see, it is that first love that causes us to realize we can't be too holy. We can't be too consecrated for Him. If we really love Him, we know that we can't go too far in serving Him. It is this first love that causes us to realize that we could not love Him enough or ever do enough for Him. But when you fail to keep yourselves in the love of God, you become satisfied with your love for Him. And when you become satisfied, the drawing power of that love begins to wane. The passion, the yearning begins to wane. These are the consequences of a failure to keep ourselves in the love of God. Because of failure on their part, the emotion of that love was gone. The glow was gone. The radiance was gone. The wonder was gone. The joy was gone. Oh, they continued to go through the motions. But it wasn't the same. It was not the same. That love that once aroused them, that love that once incited them to activity for God was no longer there. Now they're just going through the motions through habit. That love to God is not what arouses them. That love to God is not what incites them. They have failed to keep themselves in the love of God. They have failed to keep the love of God a priority. And if we're not careful, if we do not keep ourselves in the love of God, we will allow other interests to usurp the place of first love. We have failed to keep ourselves in the love of God many times. When you do that, commitment becomes less. It's hard today to find people who are truly committed to one thing, God. It's hard. You know why? It all gets back to a love to God. When this love to God ceases to be a priority, appreciation begins to wane. This is true between people also. When love begins to lose its glow, commitment becomes less. Appreciation becomes less. Attractiveness becomes less. And they begin to look in other places. And many have failed to keep their love to God. And they no longer have the appreciation for God that they once had. They no longer are attracted like they once were. Now they're looking in other places. A failure to keep ourselves in the love of God also results in carelessness. If your love for your spouse begins to wane, it begins to lose its enthusiasm and its interest, you become less careful. You begin to get careless. This world's a pretty dangerous place to be careless in. And then there's a forgetfulness. All through Jeremiah, God charges His people that they had forgotten Him. And it all gets back to a failure to keep themselves in the love of God. So the direction here, if we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, is keep yourselves in the love of God. A failure to do so is a very serious matter. Notice in Revelation 2 and 5, and we will close. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Again, it all comes to us. And repent, and do the first works, and then notice, or else. Folks, when God says, or else, you had better listen. You had better pay attention. Or else, something terrible is going to happen. Their problem was, their love to God was no longer a priority. And this is so serious that it threatened their very existence. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Except you make this matter right, it will be your ruin. This is a serious matter to keep our love to God. We need to always be examining our love to the Lord. We need to always be feeding our love to the Lord. That means we have to stay in communication with Him. You read His Word. You talk with Him. He talks with you. This feeds love. It is not enough to just come to church on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday evenings and never open the Word of God the rest of the week. If that is your case, I guarantee you right now that you are guilty. That your love for God has waned because you have not fed it. You have not let it grow. You've got to talk to Him every day. You've got to walk with Him. You've got to read His Word. This is how we keep this love a priority. Or you can fall in the habit. You go home tonight, you put the Bible on a table or wherever, and you don't pick it up again until Wednesday evening. And you're faithful. You're here every Wednesday. You're here every Sunday and Sunday night. Just like the church of Ephesus. They were faithful. They were still going through all the motions. But listen. Listen as the Lord says, nevertheless, I have something against you. Thou hast left thy first love. Love to me is no longer a priority. You have other lovers. Again, the book of Jeremiah. He accuses or he charges Israel over and over and over of playing the harlot. They were seeking other lovers. Why? Because they failed to keep themselves in love with God. You love your spouse. You will not seek other lovers. You let that love wane in any degree, and you might go seeking. Other lovers may seek you. But when you have someone at home that you love, that's a priority, you do not fall. It's so with God. All kinds of things come at us. But as long as our love to God is a priority, no, I can't do that. I love the Lord too much. There's a God that I love. I can't do that. Oh, we need to keep our love to God a priority.
in all the danger that we are in if we allow anything, anybody, to encroach upon that love. Don't allow it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.